This is Vectis Radio. For the people, by the people. The Earl Mountbatten Hospice Show with James and Judith. Community radio at its best.
Well, welcome again to another hospice show. It's come around very quickly this time. Richard Dent is in the studio with us today. Marion Tasker is taking a very, very well-earned vacation. We don't know where she's going, but I suspect she's walking because she's normally walking her socks off for the hospice. Anyway, Richard Dent here is in charge of the volunteers at the hospice. And that is quite a significant task, isn't it, Richard? Because how many are there?
We've got over 500 volunteers at the hospice.
That's extraordinary. That makes up about a quarter of a percent of the population of the island.
Yeah, we're extremely fortunate, and it's amazing the skill set that our volunteers have.
Yeah, I know, because they do a little bit of everything, don't they? I mean, you were telling me earlier, a lot of the volunteers actually do work along with the doctors and the nurses in the inpatient unit.
Yeah, it's not just working at the hospice. A lot of people think that the hospice is just a physical site up at Horbury Lane. We have volunteers on the ward there that enhance the service that the nurses and the clinical staff deliver. We have volunteers in the daycare services, which is the John Chiverton Centre there, so that could be acting as buddies, in the cafe. We have fundraising volunteers, but, you know, over 50% of our volunteers is embedded into the retail sector. So the shops around the island, the 11 shops there, the warehouse that's sorting out any of the donations that the members of the public have given us.
Yeah.
And that is a really important part of our fundraising.
Well, let's just concentrate on the shops, because I suspect there are some people who want to support the hospice but are a little bit worried about, you know, frankly, dealing with the people who are at the end of their lives. Is that something that you find?
It is. At the end of the day, the hospice is a place which is palliative care, so it's dealing with the end of life care.
Yeah.
So we do robust training with all our volunteers. So we do customer service. There's a 6 morning sessions that we deliver to all our volunteers with manager training.
Yeah.
To deal with some of those questions that could arise. So a loved one could bring in a bin bag full of clothes into a shop and be really upset. So we want to give our volunteers the skills and the competence and confidence to talk to those individuals. Yes, they're not going to be trained counsellors, but to signpost the support that those individuals may want to give. And, you know, it's also the support for the volunteers, because, you know, everybody has probably lost a loved one, a friend, a family member.
Yeah.
And there can be triggers that can bring back those memories. So we need to provide the support for our volunteers, and that could be our office, it could be a fellow volunteer, it could be the counselling service up there, and that's essential for our volunteers.
Right, so if somebody wants to become a volunteer, say let's take the example of working in a shop, first of all. What do they need to do?
They can go into one of the shops, speak to one of the shop managers. We have application forms that are available there, and it's a standard application form. We ask for 2 references, and what the manager will probably do in the shop will ask that volunteer to come in and do a shadow shift to see if it's right for that individual. Because it saves them, nobody likes filling out forms for love or money, so make sure it's right for that individual, make sure they fit into the team and they enjoy it. And then they can fill in the form. We ask for 2 references that are character references. We'll do a police check on the volunteers, and then we will sign them up for the training in the future.
Right.
And they can start and do some shadow shifts in that environment.
Oh, fantastic.
The shops themselves tend to be an AM shift and then an afternoon shift. Most of our shops are open 6 days a week. Some of the shops, so for instance, the cow shop was open extended hours over cow's week, and that was really, really successful.
I can imagine. We saw the wonderful job that the volunteers had done in the shop there to sort of make it appropriate to cow's week. They'd done a very nautical window. And this is something I really admire with the hospice's shops, because there are some very skilled ladies who probably haven't trained in shop fitting.
And gentlemen, I hasten to add.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who do some wonderful windows. Around the time of Pride, there were some Pride-linked windows as well in the hospice shops, and they looked absolutely magnificent. And we're in Bembridge, and the shop there always has an absolutely stunning window in beautiful toning colours as well, which is very nicely done.
That's part of the managers, and then the volunteers will get involved with that and have a say in it, and it's themed events, so it could be, as I said, the Pride, it could be Halloween, so you have all the fancy dress costumes going in there, and I think they try to outdo each other, and it's amazing to see.
Yeah, it is. Now, we've got Tom here, who was on our 4Ps course. Tom, have you ever actually been to the hospice?
No, but I've been and bought things in the shops, and we've been including stuff.
Have you done Walk the White?
I did the when I was in the primary school, and the primary school always did it. Because at that point I was doing loads of stuff. I did the sticker one.
Oh right, yeah.
We had the sheet, and you would count up the miles and then do the stickers.
Well,
and
good.
Yeah, it's good.
So you're 17 now, is that right?
16. So 16, nearly 17.
So Richard, is he too young?
It's 18. We start a volunteer. So the youngest volunteer is 18, and the oldest one's 92.
92? That's extraordinary, isn't it?
And they all come with a wealth of experience. So we have volunteers that want to go into the medical profession, so they're using this to enhance their experience for CVs and university entrances.
That's a very good idea.
We have ex-nurses, consultants who just want to come back and do the nice stuff, you know, so it's the talking to patients, the engaging. We have people that have lost someone and want to give something back to the hospice, people that know it's the largest charity and want to help out in whatever way.
Yeah.
You know, and we couldn't operate without the volunteers. There's no two ways about it. They are the lifeblood of the organisation.
No, absolutely, because as I understand it, the hospice needs about £8 million every year, but only £2 million of that comes from the government. So the remaining £6 million has to be found from sponsorship, from donations, from people giving things to the charity shops, and then the charity shops selling them. It's an incredible responsibility, isn't it?
It's a huge responsibility, and part of this is a thank you to the island community, because it's our 35th anniversary this year. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the generosity of the island community. It is the island hospice. We are for the population of the Isle of Wight.
Yeah.
But we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the generosity of those islanders. And what we want to do is make sure that people are comfortable coming up and see what we are as an organisation. So the shops are, you know, real community hubs in those areas.
Yes.
The main hospice building itself has got a fantastic resource, the John Chilton Centre.
Yeah.
And we're trying to change the perception that people have of the word hospice. You know, as soon as you say hospice, everyone thinks it's a fairly sad environment.
Exactly.
You know, it's very emotional. But the daycare centre, we've got an art department there. We've got complementary therapy offering massages. We've got a hairdresser. There's a wonderful Chelsea garden. There's a gym there. There's a fantastic cafe that's open 7 days a week, so you can go out there for a Sunday lunch.
Yeah.
We do concerts. There's a live concert in the hospice every first Thursday of the month.
Yeah.
It's an art gallery, so don't be afraid. Come up and see what we do. And, you know, even just buying a cup of coffee and a cake, you're supporting the fantastic work that our staff do in the hospice and also in the community.
Well, Richard, stick with us, because we'd like to hear more about volunteering actually at the hospice itself, and you described those extraordinary things that happened there. So we're just going to listen to a bit of Coolio, and then we'll be back in a few moments with Richard Dent, who's in charge of the volunteers at the Earl MacBatten Hospice. That was Coolio and Gangster's Paradise. And we have got Richard Dent in the studio, who is in charge of the volunteers at the Earl Mountbatten Hospice here in Newport. And while you've been listening to Coolio, Richard, Tom and I have just been having a chat about the way in which people can volunteer. We've just been talking about people being able to volunteer at the Earl Mountbatten charity shops, which are dotted all over the island. But people can also come to the hospice itself, either on the inpatient ward or the outpatient area, which is the John Chevrolet Centre, and make a real difference, can't they?
Most definitely. And people, it's not just volunteering for the hospice, it's patient contact. You know, we have behind the scenes, there's admin support, so it's answering the phones, it's helping in the offices, it's counting the money.
Yeah.
Working with the fundraising team, that could be planning events or actually attending the events, so the Garlic Show, Jack Up the 80s.
Yeah.
We always have establishments there to pop-up shops. We have gardeners, we have volunteers out in the community, because the hospice caters for 16 inpatient patients.
Yes.
But on a day-to-day basis, we deal with 500 patients out in their own home.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we have volunteers that will go and sit with those individuals and give their loved ones a bit of a break, so a little bit of respite service.
Yeah. Now, you were telling me about some really sort of wonderful things that volunteers have been doing, because, there, you know, there are some people, obviously, coming to the hospice who are in the last days and weeks of their life. It must be sort of very physically demanding for volunteers to help them, but also incredibly rewarding. Could you just give me a few examples of what they've been doing?
We're extremely fortunate. You know, it's people come there to live their lives, you know, to grasp every last ounce out of it. And, you know, our patients are obviously going through some very difficult times, but they look forward to coming to the John Children's Centre. It's something that's a highlight of their week.
Yeah.
So it could be that they come for getting their hair done or their nails done or a massage, and that's really important for someone that possibly can't get out of their own home.
Yes.
We take that for granted, just nipping down and getting
your
hair cut.
Exactly.
And it makes them feel special. So we pride ourselves by going that extra mile. So even the patients on the inpatient unit, we've had you know, the Medina marching band come up and play for a patient. We've had someone come and play the bagpipes.
Yeah.
We've had a patient's a horse come up and be brought into the room as well.
Amazing.
Pets, etc. can come up. So it's their wishes, and if they want a particular breakfast cereal, if they want a wee drop of whiskey at bed when they go to before they go to bed, then that's fine, you know.
Yeah.
Their wishes are important.
I mean, it's incredibly difficult, obviously, for somebody, you know, facing the end of their life, but it's extremely harrowing for their relatives.
Mm.
And, you know, I've been through the situation, you know, with parents and Judith's parents, and, you know, often you are up all night.
Mm.
It's very difficult, you know, frankly, knowing when somebody is going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you are told it's going to be sometime in the next couple of weeks. So, you know, literally, you're camping out, and I presume people are doing it at the hospice. How do volunteers help those people?
A lot of it is just listening to what those individuals need. So whether it is a cup of tea, whether it is a bacon sandwich, whether it is the newspapers, whether it is just somewhere to sit down and have a little bit of quiet reflection.
Yeah.
Whether it is that the family needs a full English breakfast in the morning. And these are the key roles that the volunteers do. They enhance the work that our clinical staff do.
Yes.
They are the ones that have the golden ticket, which is time. So they can sit down with a family member or a patient if they want to reminisce and talk about their favourite football team or what was on TV or, you know, Celebrity Big Brother or whatever it may well be.
Yes.
That's going to be really important for that individual.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned one thing there that's important, which is time. I understand, you know, you kind of really fit in with volunteers as to how much time that they contribute, don't you?
Yeah, most definitely. Of course, we like our volunteers to be committed and be able to give time every week. But we know that everyone's got a busy lifestyle.
Yeah.
We have volunteers that will be on a rota. So every Tuesday afternoon, they will do an afternoon shift. That is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
Those volunteers obviously go on holiday, they have family over, they might have babysitting duties, and sometimes they can't attend. So we also have volunteers that act like bank staff who will be floaters and will cover those shifts.
Yeah, gotcha.
We have volunteers that will dip into fundraising events, so help out certain events.
Well, like Walk the White or
Walk the White,
like
Barton Manor, you know, Osborne Run, Christmas fairs. We have volunteers that do more than one role.
Right.
And the most important thing is that the volunteer enjoys it.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see all my volunteers with a smile on their face and enjoying it, that it fits in around their lifestyle, that it doesn't become a burden. And if it ever does, you know, they come and speak to us and we can look at other roles.
Yeah.
And and people's situation does change throughout their lives.
Yeah.
You know, they might start off in the inpatient unit, but then find out that's too busy and then want to take a less demanding role.
Mm-hmm. Well, Richard Dent, thank you very much for coming in. I know you've got to get away in a second. Could you just let us know how people get in touch with you if they do want to volunteer?
Most definitely. Go onto the hospice website. All the details about current vacancies for volunteering will be on there. My contact details will be on there as well. We are particularly looking for volunteers in the retail environment at present. Volunteer drivers to transport our patients to and from the John Children's Centre, some extra volunteers in a cafe, and possibly in the inpatient unit. So if any of those roles appeal to you, then please don't hesitate to get in touch, and it'd be great to see you and give you a tour around the hospice, because it's a wonderful organisation.
No, it's worth going to see the John Cheverton Centre, isn't it? Because it's not what you expect. There is, in fact, a gallery there, and just before we go, I was just going to mention, we had a lovely lady in recently, Gail Middleton, who's got an exhibition on there until the end of August, I believe. It's called My Freshwater. Her husband was in the hospice, and she's decided to paint all these pictures and put them on sale to raise money for the hospice, and I've seen a few of the pictures, and they're absolutely wonderful. So we'll draw the hospice show to a close there. It's a bit of a shorter show today, but we'll be back again in a fortnight. Richard, thank you very much for joining us today. I know you've got to get back to the hospice, and really do hope that people at home would like to volunteer. Thank you.
Thank you.
The Earl Mountbatten Hospice Show with James and Judith. Community radio at its best. www.vectisradio.com.